Hey, you guys, time once again for the matinee show. This is episode 70.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm going to do, someone sent me a message earlier this week and said that for whatever reason, like when we first started the show, when we first started doing the regular episodes and then we started doing the movie retrospectives, I had started doing like audio versions of those and like putting them in, you know, in the very stream so it'll come out on iTunes and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, when we started doing the matinee show, I just never got around to doing an audio version of it. Yeah. So it didn't really occur to me until somebody sent me a message earlier and was like, hey, I listened to you on iTunes and, you know, you bring up like the matinee show and the witching hour show, like the scary stories. And it's like, I don't have those. So are they on a different channel? So I said, well, maybe I'll start to upload audio versions of them as well.
So yeah, I didn't know.
Just to get like a larger, I don't know why I didn't start doing that. I guess because the matinee show, when we started it out, we started recording it like we were recording it at the theater.
Yeah.
And so it really didn't seem,
yeah, it didn't make
it sense. Didn't really make sense, yeah, just to do an audio version of it. Right. But now that we do it like, you know, like a more, okay, traditional show, so I'll probably just start doing that and just putting that in the stream just like I usually do with the other stuff.
Okay.
So now that that's out of the way, let's talk about some new movies, newish movies, and one series. So we'll do two that were on Netflix and we'll do one that was in the theater. So the first one they're going to talk about is a Netflix true crime miniseries called Killer Inside: The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, this was a good series. I remember when this happened.
See, I didn't remember anything about this because it's like, you know, yes, it's a crime and everything like that, but the guy was, you know, the murderer was a professional football player, NFL, yeah, football player for the New England Saints, right? And
New England Patriots.
Yeah, Saints.
I'm not into any of this football.
I'm not either.
I give a shit about ball sports.
sports ball.
You know, if you want to watch sports ball and grown men fucking playing with balls and shit, that's all right. You can do that. I'm not into it. This is a story of damn power top. I know a lot of people like me talking about power tops, leather daddies, and power bottoms, motherfuckers that jump on your ass first. This guy here, man, was a power top. He didn't want anybody to know he was in a closet. He was willing to kill your ass behind the ass.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
The thing about this, it's basically, like I said, if you don't know the broad outlines of the story, this is about Aaron Hernandez, who I said played for the New England Patriots as a professional, yeah, NFL player. And in 2013, he murdered his friend and also his fiance's sister's boyfriend, whose name was Odin Lloyd.
Yeah, and he would do it for like just because he got mad. He couldn't control himself. He had a bunch of head injuries. That was part of his problem.
Yeah, and I think like,
and he was paranoid.
What they go into like a lot in this, and I mean, some criticism of this that I've seen was that, you know, they don't ever actually like come to a conclusion of what like caused it, but I don't think that was really the point of the series. I think the point of the series was like examining kind of all of the aspects of his life and his background and stuff like that and what might have contributed to him being the way that he was. The weird thing about it is he wasn't like a serial killer type thing, even though he was convicted of killing Odin Lloyd, because he wasn't a master criminal or anything. It wasn't like anything was really thought out beforehand. Like, he left fucking tire tracks and footprints, and
it was all spur of the moment.
Yeah, it just seemed like he didn't have any impulse control, which is, right, what I think what his problem was. So it kind of like went a little bit into that. Now it goes into, I guess, like with the guy that made this, he initially was making it as just like a regular documentary. But then Netflix got interested and they're like, hey, you want to expand that to like a miniseries? Now, in the original documentary, they didn't really talk about Aaron Hernandez being in the closet. That only came about later when his childhood friend, you know, came out and said that, you know, we had a sexual relationship from, you know, seventh grade till, you know, high school or whenever it was. So they are speculating that him being, you know, either gay or bisexual and trying to keep it a secret might have been one of the things that was making him like insecure or making, because it really did seem like he had a lot of anger issues. Like,
well, behind the scenes during his trial, as he said that's what it was.
Yeah.
From what I remember, wasn't his lawyer arguing that behind the scenes I've been drinking at that time, but we got around.
Well, the thing about it though is it's interesting because the lawyer that defended him, who's actually was interviewed extensively for this.
Yeah.
After he saw the documentary, he was kind of bummed out about it because he's like, I didn't mean to imply that that was what caused his, because he clearly had a lot of other problems as well.
Yeah.
All his head injuries,
I think, had a lot of.
I think really that might be the main. And I liked that in the third installment, they kind of went a lot into CTE and, yeah. Talked to, the doctors and neurologists. They talked about other football players that, had started playing very young, and the effect of getting whacked in the head multiple times over years and years. And, they even showed, some, brains and things like that of...
Yeah, human brains sitting there.
Of people that had died of it, other football players and stuff, and showing, the difference. But like I said, the interesting thing about this was that, as I said, I didn't know anything about this case. So I didn't know how it was going to end. I didn't know what was going to happen. So to me, it was, really kind of a fascinating journey, how it just kind of got... the murder of Odin Lloyd, which happened very early, in the first part of the series, but then it just kept growing all these tendrils. It's like they're speculating that a year before Odin Lloyd was killed, that he might have killed two other people, just like in a drive-by.
Yeah, what's weird is this dude had millions of dollars. The guy was a
He had like
multiple.
A $40 million contract.
He had all the money you'd ever want, but he wanted to run around, sell drugs, and he wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah.
He had delusions of, he also had delusions of black. He wanted to be black.
Yeah.
He was white, but he was really trying to be a black gangster, if you ask me. Hang around nothing but black dudes, and gangster black dudes and shit. And he tried to fucking, wanted to fit in with that culture.
Yeah.
And I guess he did. He was killing people. He was putting gang tattoos on himself. And he had unlimited money. You don't need to do all... He didn't need to fucking sell dope.
That's kind of what made this a fascinating look. Like I said, I know that they kind of spun off in a lot of different directions. Oh, maybe he smoked too much weed. Oh, maybe he had CTE. Maybe he was a closeted gay and that made him really insecure. And he was trying to be super macho. You know, maybe his dad was abusive and, his dad died when he was very young and that probably affected him and stuff too. But, they don't focus on one thing, but I think that's good because I think this was a very complicated story. And I think that was the thing that fascinated me the most about it, was that why would somebody who was this successful, he went to college, he played for the Gators here in Florida, probably the best college, program in the country. And he played for them and did really well. But the shit that he got up to off the field, he sort of had a reputation for being really hot-headed, being really impulsive. And even though he got away with a lot of stuff that he did while he was in Florida, it did seem like, when they were doing the draft picks or whatever, for the professional teams, he didn't get picked till the fourth round, even though he was one of the most popular ones that everybody wanted and stuff. And they're speculating that that was probably because of his reputation of being difficult, or that he couldn't really control his temper.
Well, he got outed when he got in prison, though. It came out that he was, had a boyfriend up in there, and then all the stuff came out after his trial, and he said, "Fuck it." He was in prison. He killed himself.
Because
the gay got out, and I don't understand what the fucking problem was. He had life in prison. He wasn't going anywhere. He was already a badass. They weren't going to say anything to him, And he's already in prison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, who cares if the dude's gay? He'll fucking whip your ass.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like...
Some of the toughest dudes in the prison in there are making men into other women. What the hell? I don't really see what the issue was.
Well, the problem,
He had some kind of self-loathing.
I think that was the problem more than... To a smaller extent, I think that still... the NFL in particular, even now, even in 2020, I don't watch football. I don't know a lot about that, but it does seem like it's still a little bit backwards in how it approaches that kind of thing, just from some of the interviews that they had with some of the other professional players that had come out later on and saying, it's still very much everyone has to be manly man and you have to keep your kind of sexuality under wraps a little bit because it's still not as accepted as maybe it is in society at large. So whatever it was, and I think Aaron Hernandez too, I think the problem was that his father was very manly man, macho, you can't ever do anything girly or anything like that. He was very much like that. So I think that he maybe kind of internalized that. Maybe the only thing that I would complain about, and I think this happens with a lot of true crime series, is that they focus a lot more on the killer, obviously, than they do the victim. This one's a little better in that regard. They actually do talk a lot about Odin Lloyd. They talk to a lot of his friends because he was a football player as well, semi-pro. And so they do go into that some. And then, like, after Aaron Hernandez's suicide at the end, they talk about Odin Lloyd's family. Because I guess it happened in Massachusetts, and or he was convicted in Massachusetts. And they had this really weird, like, very, very arcane law in the books that if you had been convicted of murder, but you died before your appeal could go through, then they would essentially, like, scrub the conviction. Yeah. And you would, you know, they wouldn't...
You weren't proven guilty.
Proven guilty because your appeal hadn't gone. You would die before your appeal. And so Odin Lloyd's family was very, and understandably, upset about that because he said, oh, well, now his murder is, like, technically unsolved.
Yeah,
because,
he got cleared.
Because even though the guy got convicted. So I liked that they ended it with Odin Lloyd's family kind of, like, trying to get that law changed. And I believe they did successfully get it changed so that that wouldn't happen again. You know, they said, we know it won't bring him back, obviously, but... We wanted his murder to be solved and we wanted him to, you know, Aaron Hernandez down as the killer and stuff like that. But it was like a really interesting, like I said, I don't know anything about football. This is very football centric. There's a lot of
sports ball
there. Yeah. There's a lot of sports ball stuff in there.
Sports ball is sports. You know, whenever something's about, okay, I'm not going to bag on sports. It's just from my point of view, you know, I'm 50. All right. Maybe I'm ahead of the game or whatever, but sports ball was something like your dad was interested in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't really.
Yeah, my dad was kind of. Like my dad was fashion. More. My dad was more into NASCAR, but yeah.
Yeah, they'd be in there and you hear the fucking television, and they had a damn announcer talking all day, and you're like,
that used to annoy
this
shit
fucking sucks, man.
That used to annoy me. I used to really, really hate, like, when I was a kid with, like, the noise of the sports coming from the TV.
And then they'd be going, did you see what he did? And I'm looking, and I'm going, I don't give a shit what that dude did.
It's like, no, I don't care.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't care.
But yeah, I had relatives that were really, really into football, particularly, you know, that were into the Gators and stuff like that. That's why I kind of knew a lot about that because they were into that. But it's like, it was never anything I was into. So there is a lot of football stuff in this because, you know, obviously he was a popular player. And, you know, so there's like a lot of footage of him playing and a lot of like shit about, you know, how his career was going. But I think that was good to establish, you know, for somebody like me that doesn't know shit about it, how popular of a player he was, how well regarded he was, which, you know, just to juxtapose it against why the fuck would he just go around shooting two people in a car just because they spilled a drink on him, allegedly. He didn't get convicted of those two, but one guy that he shot in the face and lived did actually say that he had done that. And that was the reason he had done it, like somebody had just pissed him off. They never really did determine why he had killed Odin Lloyd. There was a little bit of speculation over what the motive might have been, but...
remember, we're just talking about the show. We're not
doing
a show on this guy right
now.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just saying, it's on
you're
Netflix.
You're clicking over into show mode.
If you're into Netflix, if you're into true crime and stuff like that, this probably, it's not the best true crime series I've seen on there, but it is like a really good one, and it's definitely worth watching. Like I said, it's fascinating to me how... This guy who, like I said, had all this money, he had, like, his fiance, he had a baby and all this other kind of stuff, and then, like, he would just go around doing this stupid shit. Like you said, I think he kind of had delusions of gangster.
Yeah.
If you wanted, that might have been a problem, too. And I think he definitely had some head injury issues and some other psychological issues, too. But, yeah, so it's on Netflix if you're into true crime. It's only about, three and a half hours long, something like that, if you want to. We just watched it all in one night. But yeah, I found it really interesting, even if you're not into sports ball. All right, the second movie we watched this week was also on Netflix. It actually came out, I think it was at a Cinepocalypse film festival back in summer of 2019, but I just got around to watching it on Netflix. It is called Dead Con. Now, this movie is kind of like... You can tell that it's homaging The Shining in that it's set in a hotel. It has kind of like a Scatman Crothers type of character. You know, there's a haunted room and all this other kind of stuff. But it has to do with, it's taking place during, I guess, a convention called ViewCon, which I guess is supposed to be like VidCon, which is like the convention of like all the YouTubers and stuff like that, or influencers or whatever the fuck they call them. So I think that the two main women that are in this, like the two main actors, I think they are both actual like big popular YouTubers, even though, you know, it's not really my... That's not really my demographic, so I don't really know. I didn't know that prior to, like, watching the movie. So basically what the setup of this movie is, there's kind of a prologue where in this particular hotel room in 1984, there was this guy who was trying to develop what looked like some kind of, like, proto-internet chat group or something like that. I think it's called Rabbit Blink or something. And it either gains sentience... Or there's somebody at the other end, like, making him murder children to be friends with him or something like that. I wasn't, like, real clear on that.
Yeah, I was lost if it wasn't, clear in this movie. This is one that I watched for about 5 minutes and then started checking out mentally and just going, it's just, then I just kind of put up with it. You got to be honest.
Yeah.
Got to be honest. I remember very little of this movie.
The problem with it was, well, okay, a couple things that I liked about it, like the design of the hotel rooms and stuff like that were really cool. Like, I think that they were like kind of retro looking, which I really dug. The cinematography was really cool. So you can tell like a lot of thought was put into that. One of the main problems though, and you know, maybe this is just me because, you know, I'm old and everything, but it's like the characters at the center of it, you know, being YouTube influencers, they tried to, like, the main girl whose name was, I think her screen name was, like, AKA Ashley or something like that. They tried to give her, like, something of a character arc because she's come to this convention and she has, you know, millions of subscribers who appear to be mostly, like, tween girls. And you can tell she's kind of fucking over it and she just doesn't want to do this anymore and she's getting really tired and she wants a vacation. So it's like the, you know, they did try to like establish some character with her and her like assistant, which is like, oh, that must be nice having an assistant.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but the problem though is that the characters just come off as very shallow and narcissistic and unlikable. I mean, particularly the one character's boyfriend, who I guess is supposed to be unlikable, so okay, fair enough, but it's like, all of these people, I mean, other than one guy in there who's, like, pretty okay, even though he does some questionable shit, most of the people are just, like, really vapid and really not that relatable to me and, like, not that likable.
That may have been the idea.
So, yeah, so if they were indeed trying to make a point about how horrible these people were... then kudos, because you did good. I'm not sure if that's what they were trying to do. Maybe they were, because there were a couple of, like, kind of jokey, like, in-joke kind of stuff. There was, like, a couple of funny scenes in there that I really liked. But the unlikability kind of, like, it distanced me a little bit from it. I'm not saying that it's, like, a bad movie. I actually kind of enjoyed it. Like I said, it looked really cool. I liked the concept, although I wish that it would have been fleshed out more. Because, like I said, there's something going on in this particular room. You know, normally people don't stay in this room because apparently everybody that works there knows that it's haunted or whatever. But because this convention is so packed and, like, you know, this one girl's assistant, like, flips out because they double booked a room and she doesn't have a room now and all this other kind of stuff. So they end up putting her in there when they normally wouldn't. And then there's a whole, like I said, the whole thing with, like, this guy having made, like, this proto-internet thing. And I'm not really sure, like, where, like, there's ghost children in there or something. Or I think what the thing was that I think that his program became sentient and then, like, it was a kid. But it wanted the guy to, like, bring him friends. So he started, like, murdering children. So the children's souls could go into the thing. I guess I'm just saying that it wasn't really well delineated.
If you have to guess,
how I read it, but that maybe that's not what the intention was.
If you have to guess, then that means that the story is not well told. But just
be maybe honest. So. I'm just saying. I mean, yeah. So
on this next one, you know, like we're talking about. Okay, well, that's the Gretel and Hansel.
Wait till the next one. Yeah,
I didn't really understand the story.
But this one, it's like, I get what they were going for. I just wish, I mean, that's how I read it. Maybe you could read it a different way. But I just wish that had been explained, like, a little bit more. That said, there was some cool kills in it. It's, like I said, the cinematography was cool. Like, some of the imagery was creepy. And, you know, all that other kind of stuff. But I think that... And it was even kind of interesting from a point of view of, you know, these YouTubers that are, you know, 21, 22-year-old women, and all their fans are, like, these little girls. And then, you know, they have all this fame and all these subscribers, and it's like they have to be on all the time because they're always, like, vlogging from the place. And, you know, how that would kind of wear on you after a while, I guess, because, you know, they have, like, there was, like, a lot of scenes of, like, these little girls, like, running through the halls and, like, screaming and knocking on everyone's doors and stuff. And so you could see how being that kind of famous would start to wear you out after a while. But I wish that had been explored a little bit more. It just seemed like a very, like, kind of surface level kind of movie. Like, nothing wrong with it, but it was just kind of forgettable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even remember the movie.
Yeah, he's like, he was just kind of like half-assedly watched it.
You don't and catch what I, me. If you don't catch me in the first few minutes, then you lost me.
And when I told him what movie were, he was like, dude, did I even watch that? Yeah. So he didn't see it. It was only like a few days ago.
Right.
So like I said, it's not a great movie, but it's, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, if you like to see horror movies based around new media, like, you know, it wasn't as good as, say, something like Unfriended, which was actually, like, much better than I was expecting. But if you like things in that vein, you might like it, but I don't know. Or maybe Open Windows, although yeah. I liked that one better. But this one, I think the unlikability of the characters was, like, the main... I liked the concept. I liked the cinematography. I liked the way it was done. I just... The characters, there was really no one for me to care about or root for. It's like most of them are just annoying, and I was just waiting for them to get killed, which, you know, that's kind of a shame. But yeah, it's like,
all right,
if you got nothing better to do, then I guess check it out on Netflix. All right, the third movie we saw this week was in the theater. This was Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah, this one's gonna be interesting to talk about here.
This was like, okay, now this was directed by Oz Perkins, who, fun fact, was the son of Anthony Perkins.
Yeah.
This is actually his third movie, and I really loved his first two, which were I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House and The Black Coat's Daughter. Now, if you like those movies, you might dig this one as well. This is a very strange movie. Like, I hadn't really heard much about it, like, coming out, and then, like, a while back we saw a trailer for it, and I was like, oh, actually, that looks pretty cool. It reminded me... This is kind of be a weird thing to say, but it reminded me a little bit of the original if the original Suspiria and the Suspiria remake had kind of like been squished together. You know what I mean? It gave me that kind of vibe. And so
Jenny's
yeah,
big into witches, so
yeah,
she's a witchologist.
Yeah,
writes books about them and everything.
Yeah, so I love like old school witches, and I love like stuff that's like based on old fairy tales and things like that, especially if they're done really dark and everything. So I was kind of intrigued by the premise of this, and like I said, I really liked this director's other two movies, even though I'd only seen one trailer. So we went to see it, and this was, I think you put it, you put, this is like kind of a mixed bag. One thing, it's actually like, I was expecting it to be more of, I think a few years ago they made like a Hansel and Gretel witch hunters thing that was kind of like...
It's like an action movie.
If Hansel and Gretel had like grown up like after they escaped from the witch and then they went around like hunting other witches. You know, so I feel like this one took a more classical approach, although it did change up the story a little bit, but it did have more of like a fairy tale feel. It wasn't an action movie. It was definitely way more of an art house movie than I was expecting. I don't know why I was expecting it not to be.
It had a really good score. It was like an 80s style, almost kind of like giallo type score.
Or a little bit like Mandy, too. Yeah. The score reminded me of Mandy at times.
There was a bunch of giallo throwbacks in terms of the lighting and the architecture of the damn house. It's almost kind of like a damn postmodern fucking witch house. I liked it. I loved the witch in this.
Alice Creege played her.
Yes. Same chick that played the Borg Queen.
And she was in Ghost Story as well.
Yeah, so she's hot as an old lady. She's kind of hot as an ugly old witch, too. You can tell.
She kind of is, isn't that
they
weird?
Got her uglied up. They got her uglied up, but there was something kind of sexy about her.
Yeah.
She can take a bunch of different forms, including like a hot young goth chick, all tatted up and shit. As soon as the witch showed up into the movie, I liked it. But it was kind of over too quick.
Yeah.
The final scene Of course, the witch gets killed. You know this from
the fairy tale. From the yeah, story. They didn't go that far out.
And she just gets killed. I'm like, well, is she coming back? I want a damn 80s style action ending, like Terminator, like with it explosions. Burns up. But then all of a sudden it comes back and you got to fight it again. I was waiting for some shit like that. That didn't happen. There were some real good effects, some good creepy shit, but it was almost a little bit like a horror movie without a lot of horror in it. There should have been more. The story is convoluted. I didn't understand the story. I came out of it going, but I kind of liked it. And then I told Jenny what I thought had happened, and I totally misunderstood the story. I thought the witch was fucking Gretel's mom.
No.
And that Hansel was also the kid. And I thought that Gretel was the girl in the damn pink hat who was born a witch. So I had it all fucked up. So part of that I'm only going to put that on the director.
I'm going to put that on the director. I got it, though.
Yeah, but you're paying close attention, and you write stories, and you're big into this shit. If you don't catch my attention in the first few minutes, I start kind of ignoring what's happening. I'm like, yeah, I just put up with it. It's a kind of a deal where I'm very hard to influence. I'm very strong-willed. And telling a story to someone from my point of view is a form of influence. I'm seeing the story I want. I don't really want to hear your story. The only way you're going to get me to hear your story is to kind of hook me into it very early. And I didn't get hooked into this until they got into the witch's house. So mentally, I was kind of resisting the story. I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, yeah, this is full of shit. I don't like her hair. You know, fucking, when is this? Where is this? Fucking, what year is this? Europe didn't look like this in the fucking Middle Ages. Not flexible.
Yeah, I'm well, flexible. He can't just, like, let shit unfold.
Oh, no.
He can't just let shit.
No.
I mean, it's just a story. It's not going to, like, give you cancer or anything.
Well, when I'm first trying to establish myself in the story, I want to know, is this a fictionalized story? Is it fiction? Is he trying to tell me? Is the tone realism? Is the tone surrealism? Is it fantasy? And I really couldn't tell.
Well, I just figured it
was fucking postmodern. That's what it is.
Well, I've seen this guy's other two movies, and this is similar. I still like those other two movies better. This one is along the same lines, but also not quite. You know, since from the outset, you know, I'm approaching this as a dark fantasy or a dark fairy tale. Then I'm just going to let it unspool the way it wants to unspool. You know what I mean? Just because that's how I'm approaching it. Yes, I could see if you wanted to nitpick, it's like, you know, why are some of the characters have British accents? Why does some?
Yeah, she had an American
accent.
Why
does she have an American accent? Blah, blah, blah. Where is this? When is this? I wasn't really concerned about any of that because, like I said, to me, it just seemed like a fairy tale. And to me, a lot of fairy tales are not super time specific or super location specific. So I just kind of took it in that vein. So it didn't really bother me. One thing I could have done without was her voiceover.
Yeah. There was a bunch of shit I could have done without. What about that damn huntsman?
What
movie was that from?
I think that what they did with that, I think pretty much the sole thing of that character, because I think a lot of the theme of the story was her, you know, it wasn't just the witch that, you know, was bad, but it's just like everybody was bad. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like everywhere was dangerous. So I think the point of that, it was almost like, and I know this is like a weird comparison, but you know, like in the Friday the 13th movies, like that weird guy that comes and says, don't go to Camp Crystal Lake. It was like, he was almost like that guy. It was almost
he was a good guy,
but he's like, oh, you know, from here on, everyone's going to suck. So you got to watch out for that. So I think he was just like a warning post.
Yeah. That guy belonged in another movie. I mean, all of a sudden, you're in medieval Europe, and this fucking woodsman jumps out, and he's fucking speaking Shakespearean English. He's a black dude, gives a big old fucking speech, and then kills a damn monster. And I'm like, okay, this is a main character, and then vanishes.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the movie, I'm thinking, when's that huntsman going to show back up? He never does. I'm like, what the fuck movie was that guy from? He just makes an appearance, does some cool shit, and then leaves. He didn't really serve a purpose in the story, I don't think. There's a lot of problems with the movie. Did I like the witch? Yeah, I liked the witch. I wish the witch was the best part. And there should have been a whole movie about that witch.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about the Hansel and Gretel too much.
Yeah, I mean, I like the direction. Like I said, I like this direction. I like Oz Perkins' other two movies a lot.
What was the moral of this story? Remember when we watched, what was that other one that we saw? The Turning.
Yeah.
The Turning, I thought I was watching one movie, and then the final few seconds it told me that it was a whole nother movie. The moral of that story was, bitches be crazy. Okay? But now I'm reinterpreting this one. I think the moral of this story is bitches be evil. So bitches be crazy and bitches be evil. Isn't that what they're talking about?
No.
Because they're just born like witches?
No. No.
Okay, well...
The whole theme of the movie and why it was called Gretel and Hansel instead of the more traditional other way around was that this was kind of like a coming-of-age story.
But how could you be born a witch?
They're talking about how... It's not... Witchcraft is just a metaphor. It's a metaphor
for evil, I guess.
No, it's not for evil. That wouldn't be a metaphor. That's just a straight-up thing. It's a metaphor for coming of age, finding your own way in the world, finding your own power in the world. The thing about it is that, and I like the fact that he introduced the element into the thing where Gretel also has some kind of like witchcraft like propensity, and the witch whose name is Holga, I think, I don't know if they mentioned that in the movie, but you know, she recognizes that in her and tries to like kind of tempt her over to the dark side.
All right.
And so I think that what they're trying to say is that, you know, Gretel had this power. And she had the responsibility to use it either way that she could use it. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like a metaphor for finding your own power. Like I said, finding your own way.
Okay,
well, that's all. It's a coming of age story is what it was.
This shit was too sophisticated.
It's just not that sophisticated. Sophisticated. It's a very, very simple theme. In fact, a lot of fairy tales have that theme. Okay. You know what I mean? They're not just like straightforward stories. They usually have a moral of some type. And that's usually what they are, is they're usually like coming of age stories or, you know, a childhood to adulthood type of passage, which is what this was. And in a lot of ways, I think this did it more overtly than the original fairy tale did.
We left the show and I was, you know, in the car and talking about it. And I could tell she was getting exasperated because I didn't understand the movie at all.
Yeah.
I thought the witch was her mom.
No.
Because that made more sense to me based on what I saw.
She was a mother figure, but she wasn't her literal mom.
Right. And I thought...
It was a parallel. They were drawing a parallel between...
The first thing Gretel does is tell this story about this girl in the pink hat.
Yeah, the most beautiful girl in the world.
And I thought she was telling a story about herself or something. You know what I mean? That's just the way I interpreted it. So I guess I read too much into... Because some movies you do kind of have to read it between the lines. But
yeah, they were just drawing a parallel between Holga the witch and the little girl in the pink hat and Gretel and Hansel,
and then,
and Gretel being a mother to her little
brother.
Yeah, and
then it turns out Gretel's a witch too. See, so I go, oh, okay, she must have been the one in the damn pink hat. So in male logic, that you know talking about, men have a different logical fucking mechanism.
Yes, it's called illogic.
Difficult logical mechanism of how shit works, all right? And that's just how I interpreted this movie. And I don't know, after you told me what it really meant, I was like, oh, okay, no, I don't like the movie.
We had the same problem.
I liked my version of it.
We had the same problem with the Suspiria remake. It was very funny to me after we saw that movie, and you actually kind of liked that movie, and then...
Turns out I didn't understand.
You came across, and like, you got the story totally wrong.
Yeah, I can't...
And I was like, no, that wasn't what happened. It was this and the other thing. But yeah, so like I said,
they don't
this...
really tell me the story. If the story isn't so, it, this is a convoluted fucking story.
It's
and
very
so
like
is,
I said.
So is Suspiria.
Yeah.
Okay. And
well, it was just one that you had to pay attention to. That's all.
Yeah, but strong-willed people don't pay attention to little details.
Oh,
like
so
that.
I'm weak-willed.
I don't know.
Because I pay attention.
No, what
to
it is that you're there to be told a story, and I'm not really there to be told a story. I guess I don't know what it is.
It's see, just, that's it. I told him last night. I said that seems very weird to me because it's like if you're not going to pay attention to a movie, why don't you just stay home and stare at the wall?
Well, she knows that a lot of times I would prefer to just stay home, really, but. I don't know. I'm used to stories coming at me from a certain angle. And when a story kind of defies my kind of preset expectations, I guess subliminally just kind of reject it. Just like going,
see,
no,
that's why specifically
no,
I try not to
no,
have
no.
expectations about
right,
something.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, I'm interested to see what other people's perspectives are. That doesn't mean that I like it or I think it's successful. There's a lot of things about this movie I think could have been done better. Like I said, I could have done without the voiceover. I don't think it was necessary. To me, it seemed like the voiceover was like a studio thing after, like, no one would know what's going on, or it's too quiet, or something like that. So you should, like, have the character, like, talk over it, like fucking Blade Runner. And so that was kind of annoying. I didn't really think it needed it, because I could tell what was going on without her saying. So that could have been... And like I said, there were a couple elements that, you know, maybe could have been, you know, done better. But on the whole, I feel like this is probably going to be very divisive, but I liked that it was an interesting experiment. It was like, you know, like I said, it was way more art house than I was expecting. It had like a lot more, it's not super gory or super, but it had like some really good, like, gore set pieces. It had like some really, really creepy imagery. Like I said, it homaged Suspiria. Little shout out to Wizard of Oz in there. I heard that like right at the end. You know, there was some cool shit in this. I didn't like it as much as his other two movies, because I loved his other two movies. So I didn't like it as much as that. But as a fairy tale adaptation, I thought it was actually pretty cool, and I thought it was like an interesting direction to go in. You know,
I think it had some cool ideas. I really liked the stuff that had the witch in it. She did a great job.
And she was the best thing about it, easily.
Some of the ideas of like the certain powers that she had and how she did that shit, that I was like, wow, that's all right. You know, I'd like to see a whole movie with that. But just from the perspective of just like Joe Blow, you're some swinging dick sitting in the audience, you're not gonna like this movie.
No, probably not. No. I feel like this is not gonna be for general audience. But that's
if you're
okay.
If you're a man. What's that one? What's that song? Nah, I ain't gonna get into it. He's a man. Anyway, no. If you're just a regular dude, you're not gonna like this movie.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I think it's gonna be very. I don't think people, even people that are into art house movies like I am, I didn't like it as much as his other ones. But there was some interesting shit in there, and I really liked a lot of the imagery. And I do think it needed more witch, because really, like, the best scenes, like, once they got to the witch's house and, like, there were the scenes between Gretel and the witch, and they were, like, just talking and, like, weird shit was going on. And some of Gretel's, like, weird visions or dreams or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the best shit.
I would like to see several witches like that fight each other. All right. Bunch of witches fighting. And then, like, they make some vampires, and the vampires fight.
And they ride on dinosaurs.
Then they ride on some fucking dinosaurs.
With explosive diarrhea.
And at the very end, the witch gets fucking big. Like the size of
like Godzilla. Like a big man Japan.
Like a size of a fucking dinosaur. Size of a Godzilla.
That would be kind of funny. Yeah. That sounds like a Chuck Tingle story.
Yeah, like a Chuck Tingle story. And she's fighting fucking...
Pounded in the butt by my witch dinosaur. Explosive diarrhea butt.
Fighting knights in armor and fucking orcs and shit. Yeah.
So Lord of the Rings is what you want to say. Yeah. Essentially,
Lord of the Rings. Those fucking hobbits are looking at each other too much.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy, I liked. The trilogy that they made of The Hobbit, I thought was just, like, unforgivable.
Man, those fucking hobbits are looking at each other and, like, get a fucking room, man. I thought they were going to fuck at any moment. Did you see that shit?
A lot of people have said that.
I was going, fuck, man.
I don't remember. I don't really remember. I saw Lord of the Rings like one time, the movies. And I liked them, but I didn't really like watching them. The Hobbit ones, I saw the first one. I was like, man, fuck that. Because I loved that book when I was a kid. And it's like, it didn't need three movies. They like added so much stuff to it. And the CGI was really bad.
I'd like to see the Witch and the Terminator. But the old Terminator. Back when Arnold was a man.
You know what? I almost feel like the witch in this could maybe kick the Terminator's ass.
Yeah. Now we're just making jokes.
She was actually really... I said, Alice Creech, there's a reason why they cast her as, like, the shape-shifting demon in Ghost Story, and why she was the Borg Queen and stuff like that. She has, like, a really otherworldly kind of quality about her. There's something very unsettling about her.
And that witch was taking fucking human body parts and... putting a spell on them to make them look like delicious foods, and she was feeding it to the kids. Pulling out fucking little girl's hair out of it.
Yeah, that's on the poster, actually, like her pulling that little braid out of her mouth.
It's pretty good. There should have been a lot. Cannibalism. She poured herself down a drain. I need to like see more of that.
Yeah, there was, like I said, there was some really cool ideas in that. I don't think it gelled completely, and there was some things that I would change, but...
Because he had a good idea for a witch, but then it got kind of stuffed into the fucking Hansel and Gretel mold. Fuck Hansel and Gretel, man. That story's too limited.
True. Although, like I said, he did change it, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was within the confines of that story.
Yeah.
And then he had to kind of twist the story to make the story interesting, because that's not an interesting story. He should have had a witch in another context. Should have been a bunch of witches fighting. Like, yeah, man, I'm fucking not lying. It'd be making all kinds of money right now.
Why don't you write that?
It would be, why don't you write it? It would be making all kinds of money right now.
Because I don't want to see a bunch of witches fighting.
It would be making all kinds of money, sitting back there making all kinds of money right now if it was about a bunch of witches fighting.
I don't know, man. I've seen some movies like that that just didn't turn out.
And the witches are like in a mafia. It's like a coven, but it's like a mafia. And it's like different covens fighting each other.
Well, yeah.
You write it like the Godfather, but it's about witches. And it's kind of like the Sith.
You know,
Sith versus Sith.
You know,
and there are no good people in it.
You know,
it's
what's interesting,
evil versus
though,
evil.
Is that I haven't read them for a while, but Anne Rice's, Witch Chronicles or whatever they were called. They were kind of like that in the sense that it was like kind of warring like witch families.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they never made any movies out
see,
of those.
See, in a witch story, now I'm going to go full balls to the walls. There's not going to be any good people in it. They're all going to be bad.
Yeah.
This is going to be like the real world where it's not good against evil. It's just evil against evil. You know what I mean? Just gangs against, like, they do it in the mafia flicks.
Yeah.
I'd do it with witches. That's how I'd do
like
it.
I said, I haven't seen like a lot of stuff, so there might already be something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if you look long enough, you could find something just like what you want.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You eat men and children and shit like that.
Yeah, I'd probably watch that.
Yeah.
I guess if it was.
And there's no men in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like hate men. That's the way I would do it. Make them real fucking scary.
Yeah.
And the only man that's in there is a damn vampire. he fights them too. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so like I said,
I'm imagining it. I'm telling you, it's cool. I'm imagining. I'm imagining my story. Not an ounce of soy in my movie.
Yeah, okay.
Not an ounce of soy.
So anyway, yeah. So if you like Oz Perkins if you like kind of dark fairy tale movies, you should probably check it out. Like I said, it's very art house. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, then you're probably not going to dig it. It's only 87 minutes long. It actually felt really short to me.
It did.
But, you know, actually, even though, like, some of it was quote-unquote slow-moving, I felt
should've
like
it
should have
been 87 minutes of that witch fucking shit up. I'd have loved it.
I do think it did need more witch, just because she was fucking great. I mean, she was, like, the best character. And there's really only three characters in this, like, three main characters.
And
there's a couple
showed
other
us
minor
more
ones,
inside, inside her house was pretty weird, too. It should have showed us even more.
And more of the Sphinx Kitty.
Yeah, Sphinx Kitties, hidden doors, traps, fucking vampires, bunch of bodies in there, just everything.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you the man's point of view, you know?
Yeah, okay.
The way it should have been.
All right. So anyway, yeah, this is playing at the theater, so go check it out if you're interested.